The following presentation is a Barrett Sports Media production. Recognizing the unsung heroes of sports media.
I'm stuck in this pit, working for less than slave wages, working on my day off.
This is the Producers Podcast.
I'm a producer.
Oh, you're the executive producer.
Now, here's your host, Dimitri Robinos.
Our intro is recorded by the folks at Writer Voiceovers. They are also the presenting sponsor of the Barrett Sports Media Producers Podcast. You can hear Writer's voice on all kinds of presentations, whether you are talking about radio stations like the Shark down in Miami, or maybe you are talking about NBC or CBS Sports. He's the voice of the Tennis Channel Networks. He's the voice of the PBR National Tour. Ryder has a voice that is recognized, and it can be the voice of your station. Go to RyderVO.com for a customized demo today. Today's episode of the Producers Podcast is a little bit different than what you've heard the last few weeks, because while Jay Retcher and I certainly talk about the realities of trying to put together a show in this environment, Jay is also the executive producer of Ron and Ian, the afternoon show at WDAE in Tampa. Tampa should strike a chord with a lot of sports fans. Obviously, there is more speculation and more interest in on-the-field sports there right now, whenever they may come back, than just about anywhere else in the country because of Tom Brady going to the Buccaneers. And I need to tell you this before we get into today's episode. I grew up a Buccaneers fan, so we do diverge a little bit to get deep into some Bucs talk. Am I going to apologize for it? Absolutely not. It's my podcast. What are you going to do about it? But in the meantime, here is Jay Retcher from WDAE down in Tampa. While most stations are struggling for truly local topical sports, like, no market in the country has been gifted as much as Tampa Bay has.
Yeah, 100%, man. It's kind of crazy to think that throughout this whole thing, and people are talking, oh, there's not much sports to talk about. I mean, our show is a little different too on the Ron and Ian show. We talk sports, but we don't hit you over the head with the X's and O's.
Sure.
We talk lifestyle, we're music, we're food. We do a little bit of everything. But when you have something like this with the Tiger King that happens right in our backyard with the Big Cat Rescue, that's less than 20 minutes away. And I also have a personal tie-in, as my cousin was actually the director of photography for the Tiger King as well.
Oh, what?
So that just, he actually, his mom, and I don't think I've ever told anybody this yet, but his mom put it out on Facebook like, oh, you know, Damien did this. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. I got to check it out. And then, you know, you look back and 2 weeks after is when Tiger King exploded. So I'm like, wait, that's the documentary you're talking about? So he's actually, it's kind of crazy too, because I asked him, I was like, hey, you want to come on the show? It'd be great content. And he goes, bro, legally, I'm not allowed to talk because of the lawsuits going on. So my first cousin, the director of photography for the whole thing, can't even come on our airways. So that's how serious it is. So between that, and then also the Tom Brady news, you know, we extended our programming. It's been crazy, man. The Brady thing has really taken the world by storm down here. There's a level of excitement. I've been working in this market for about 5.5 years. Mm-hmm. The level of excitement for Tampa Bay Buccaneer football is at an all-time high. And when you, you know, combine that with the Tampa Bay Lightning and, you know, the prospect of them making a long playoff run, and the Rays bouncing off of a playoff run last year, it really is, even though, you know, times around the country and around the world are pretty despondent right now. In Tampa Bay, there's kind of that silver lining of, all right, if we're smart, if we're educated, if we can get through this next whatever it is, month, 2 months, 3 months, we got some really great events and some great local sports teams to entertain us when things get back to normal.
Okay, so I am going to have to put Tom Brady and the Buccaneers to the side for a second. I don't know if I have told you or Mamola has told you that I grew up a Buccaneers fan.
Oh, no way.
So yeah, I've growing up on the Gulf Coast of Alabama was a Buccaneers fan because I decided I hated myself at an early age.
boy.
We'll get into all that in just a second, because I do have a lot of questions about whenever things get back to normal, what this does for Tampa, St. Pete, like the market as community. So we'll get back to that in just a second.
Okay.
But you talked about Tiger King, and you know, you guys have the local tie-in with Big Cat Rescue being right around the corner from the studios. It is probably across all formats, but obviously at the site we pay attention to sports. I have never seen something outside of, I guess, episode 7 of Star Wars, the first new movie in the series in almost 15 years. I have never seen something pop culture that captivated this format the way that did. And so I wonder, you talked about your cousin wasn't legally able to come on. Were you guys pursuing some of the local people trying to get them on air, whether it was from Big Cat Rescue or investigators that showed up on camera?
Oh, yeah. We had Hillsborough County Sheriff Chad Cronister on our airways last week. And it's funny because, you know, and you know this from reaching out to certain people. And I was like, oh, well, they brought it to me. Ron and Ian asked me, hey, what do you think if we get Sheriff Chad Cronister on? And I go, yeah, we'll try. And when you make calls like that, especially with something like this, a lot of times, and you know this, it's like, well, no, we kind of want to keep things close to the vest. And you understand that. But I'm like, hey, let's try to reach out. So I reach out to a friend. And come to find out that the girl that just got hired as his kind of liaison is the girl that worked for Fox Sports down here beforehand.
Wow.
So she's like a good friend of mine and my friend of my girlfriend. So she's like, yeah, definitely. He'd love to do it. He'd love to go on sports because he's been doing everything else. So we had him on, and bro, it was crazy. He was like, yes, we're going to dive back into the Don Lewis murder. We are going to make sure that we, you know, that we're not going to leave any stone unturned. And it was just cool to have him on, you know, is so topical, you know, and it's a local tie too. So it was, you know, we talked about obviously, you know, how he's dealing with COVID, and, you know, when people bring up the coronavirus and they, you know, because we also had, I don't know if it was national news, but we had a church that was still going on and having people show up. And
wait, is this the church with the video of the woman saying she was covered in Jesus's blood, so she was okay?
Oh, no, I don't think it was. I'm not sure if it was that one or not. But this guy tried to tell people that, oh, yeah, it's okay to go there. And the sheriff's went there and said, hey, we don't want to arrest you. We don't want to do anything like this, but we're going to have to shut you down. And he's like, no, we're not doing it. And they eventually had to take care of him. But it was just, you know, talking about things like that, and to have Chad Cronister on, the sheriff, it was, you know, it was surreal that we were talking about this. And listen, sometimes when you go outside of the realm of sports, people get mad. There was no bad text. There was no bad calls. There was no nothing. It was so many, like, people texting in and calling in going, that's so cool that you guys had the sheriff on. I hope he, you know, he gets justice for Don Lewis's family. It was surreal how into it people were. Because even, you know, the people that tune in every day just for sports,
right.
sports, you'll have your detractors when you have, even if it's sports, if you have a UFC guy on or a WWE guy on or a workout guy, you'll have one or two that are like, we want to talk about the Rays, Lightning, and Bucks, but we didn't have anybody like that. And I thought, to me, that spoke volumes of where everybody's head's at right now, of just trying to find any source of entertainment to kind of keep them just going through their daily lives.
You know, you talk about the number of people that were texting you that they want justice for Don Lewis's family. I see that pop up on social media all the time. And like, for you, it's great. Like, it's something that keeps the listeners involved. In reality, like, come on, dude. You don't care. These are characters on TV to you.
But that's the thing, too, man. It's like, you know, I'm a big WWE guy, too. So, like, we have that, you know, kind of juxtaposition on our show where, yeah, Tampa's like, you know, one of the kind of hubs when it comes to wrestling.
Sure.
So you have that kind of, and I think that kind of escapism from reality and kind of, like, not taking it so serious, I think that actually helps people be, all right, yeah, obviously we know that it's kind of, you know, it's a show, we get it. But I think it allows people to be almost entertained by Joe Exotic and singing along with the silly song. You know what I mean? I think that does. I think, you know, when you kind of take yourself out of it instead of worried about, oh, this isn't real like people do with wrestling, or, oh, this is just a show, people are just like, you know what, bro, there ain't anything else going on right now. And this is such a wild and crazy story that, hey, you know, whatever, man, we'll watch it. And you don't want to be left out, too, man, with all the memes. And, you know, my grandmother watches it. Everybody watches this darn thing. So it's just like you want to be involved with that everybody else is talking about. You don't want to miss out on any of the inside jokes, you know?
Yeah, for sure. All right, so let's use that to transition into sort of uncomfortable real life stuff going on down there right now. Tampa took action before the state of Florida did to shut everything down. You have the sheriff on to talk, I guess it's to start off talking about Tiger King, but also transition into what the realities of life are down there right now. Just give me an idea of what Tampa and Florida, like what sort of a cluster bleep things are down there right now in terms of what is legal and what is not.
You know, it's kind of funny because when you look at it and you see, because my family lives up in New York, they're up in Long Island, and, you know, they're telling me all the things that are going on. It's really not as bad, I don't think, as what sometimes you see on the media. You saw the thing with the beach weeks ago with all the kids at Siesta Key and all the spring breakers in that video. And that, to me, was kind of like the black cloud of like, oh, Tampa's not doing anything, or Southeast, Southwest Florida not doing anything. I tell you what, man, for the most part, a lot of people are staying in their homes. There's been a lot of really good things as far as, you know, people driving through their communities, celebrating teachers and birthdays. And I don't see many people. I mean, I see people sometimes walking and biking. I live in, you know, kind of a little bit north of downtown Tampa. And really, I mean, I don't see anything where I look at too much when I look at, like, why are these people outside? Or I don't see, like, large crowds of people. So for the most part, I think it's been a little bit overblown in the media of how, you know, crazy Florida has been, because for the most part, I mean, it's like a ghost town here at the station. I'm one of, I think, 8 or 9 people out of over 100 that are still coming in here every day. But my office is right by the door, so I'm good, and I sanitize everything from head to toe. But even, like, looking outside, like, there's still, you know, there's not as much traffic. I say traffic is less than half that you would usually see. Ron says that usually takes him 40 plus minutes to get to and from work. It took him 28 minutes yesterday. So, you know, for the most part, I mean, I think people are doing a good job. And, you know, if people aren't, if there are things like that church or there's like gatherings, there was actually a flag football game, I think it was last weekend, that somebody was like, I can't believe these people were playing flag football. If there's people out, they're going to let us know. They're not shy to hit us up on the text line or give us a call. But I tell you what, man, thinking about it this whole week and looking back at it, I don't recall one message or anything about people really not kind of heeding the advice of what people should be doing. So, you know, I guess I'm pretty proud of the Tampa Bay constituents for keeping their sanity for at least one more day. But, you know, with that being said, the weekend's coming up, and that's when people want to let loose a little bit. So we'll see.
Well, so that is sort of, I guess, a question then for you guys specifically. Were Ron and Ian and the other talents on the station giving messages about the importance of staying home and not gathering right now, even before official orders came down? Or were you more focused on, I guess, the realities of, hey, we're all stuck in our home, and talking about it more from a pop culture standpoint?
You know, it's funny you say that, because in the beginning when this whole thing started, Ron's like a germaphobe. You know what I mean? So he's always the guy that's like, he doesn't always like to shake hands. He likes to use hand sanitizer. He overwashes his hands. He's just that old school mentality of, you know, it's just, that's just always how he's been. So when this kind of whole thing came out, Ron was like, yeah, he can kind of see, like, all right, well, that's how it would spread. Ian at first was like, this may be a little bit overblown. And then when things started to get more real, more facts started coming out, Ian switched. And I tell you what, one of the best things on a radio station or to listen to a radio show is when you hear a host, in my opinion, is when you hear a host have one kind of, all right, this is what I believe, and then get facts and go, hey, I was wrong. Because to me, it humanizes the story and it humanizes the host as well. You hate when these people, they make a stand on something and then they stay with it. And it's like, bro, there's all these facts going against you. You know, everybody makes mistakes. You know, we all have egg on our face sometimes. So Ian flipped the switch there. And then, and I was just, you know, and you're proud as a producer, because you're like, hey, man, that's smart. You don't want to just keep going down that rabbit hole and digging your own grave there. But once he started turning, that's when we started looking at things like, all right, we don't want to be over-educational. We don't want to go to a point where that we're telling people, you know, too many stats, because you're not coming here. You want to be entertained. So if it has to do with sports, we mention it. If it's one of those things where it's like a new discovery or, you know, just something that, because again, we're more of a lifestyle show, but just a new study or something that affected somebody that we know or a place that we've been, we'll go into that. But again, we don't want to go down that rabbit hole of being too, you know, I say it in sports terms, you don't want to do too much X's and O's, because then it's just like people are tuning into sports radio for a specific purpose. And a lot of that is not to get bogged down with all the facts and information about COVID. They know where they can go to find that information. They're not coming to us for that. So, yes, I mean, it'd be I think we wouldn't be doing our jobs if we weren't mentioning it. But also we have to make sure that we're keeping that nice, even balance to make sure that people come here and get what they're looking for.
The Buccaneers have certainly made it hard to find room for much else
on the show right now between Tom Brady, between the draft coming up, the new uniforms, which as a sports aesthetics enthusiast, I'm happy to see them going back to the Super Bowl era uniforms. But there's a lot with that team going on for you guys to discuss. And I would imagine DAE listeners have probably more of that expectation. Tampa Bay sports fans probably have more of that expectation of business as usual from sports radio than just about anywhere else in the country right now.
Yeah, and it's weird how Tampa Bay is such a unique place, man, because, you know, me, I'm not from here, and I think out of all the shows that we have two or three people that are actually born in the state of Florida. So it's a very unique community that we have here, because every other person is from either New York or Boston or L.A. or Alabama or Michigan or Detroit. It's so crazy to see that. And I think when you have something like what's going on right now on both ends of the spectrum, whether it's something that's bad, like the, you know, the COVID situation, or something good, like, you know, new uniforms and the GOAT Tom Brady coming down here, I think you can, it kind of galvanizes the community. And even though we have a bunch of differences, we look at it and go, hey, we can all, you know, understand that we're going through some tough times, but we can also appreciate that even if you haven't been a Patriots fan, the best quarterback, or, you know, arguably the best quarterback in the history of the game, will be under center for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I feel a lot of people are looking at it going, this is so cool. And we're just hoping that things get back to normal. And it's a little thing, man. People are like, we hope OTAs can come back. We hope minicamp, training camp. Like, it's those little battles that people are hoping that, I think, in a couple months, that if we get closer to normal, people want to see Tom Brady so bad in a white or a red or a pewter Bucks jersey with the number 12. That's when it'll be all real. And there'll be excitement here that, I mean, I don't think there's been excitement for Buccaneer football probably since the Super Bowl year. So you're looking almost 20 years that there hasn't been that kind of fever pitch when it comes to the sport of football. And you're going to get that this year with Tom Brady and the Bucs.
It's really interesting to think about what every other station in America from day to day is sort of thinking about right now versus where you guys are. I had dinner with your PD, John Mamola. I was down there near the end of December. And we had dinner, and we were just sort of talking about the Buccaneers' place in Tampa sports hierarchy. And he made the point that at that time, unless you were talking about what they were going to do at the end of Jameis Winston's contract, there was really nothing that could guarantee audience engagement. Whereas now it seems like you guys, while everybody else is talking about when things get back to normal, I'm guessing off air, you guys are having meetings of how can we absolutely maximize the fact that we are the Buccaneers' flagship, or at least the Buccaneers' flagship is in the building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's weird, man, because, you know, one thing that I really give credit to John Mamola and really everybody at our station is we haven't looked at it as, okay, we're going through this and when we get back to normal. And I think that's where people kind of get lost, where, especially when you're doing something like this, where our job, we're still going. We can't look at it as, oh, this is so much different than everything else, because that's when, I don't know whether you start feeling sorry for yourself or you just get bogged down with all the negativity. You just got to keep pushing forward, man. You got to keep making it happen. So, yeah, all right. So games aren't going on right now. Well, what can we do to still keep in contact with the Lightning? There was a conference call with Anthony Cirelli yesterday. We got Rays outfielder Hunter Renfroe on with us today. We're, you know, trying to have a Rays player on every week. We're trying to reach out to different broadcasters, even that aren't in season. So maybe our football beat writers, our fantasy beat writers. So, like, we're not looking at it as, oh, when we get back to normal, it's, hey, what can we do to try to provide that sense of normalcy to people? We don't want them to come to us, and they don't want to hear us feeling sorry for ourselves, because we still have a job. You know, we're still doing what we love. We're still, you know, having fun and entertaining people. So, you know, to take that approach of going like, all right, well, when we get back to normal, like, we're trying to, hey, man, we're still going. We're trying to stay positive. We're trying to stay happy. And we're trying to provide that outlet where if there's people out there that don't feel that way and they need somebody to talk to, or, you know, they need a laugh, they know where to find us on 95.3 WDAE. So, yeah, but hey, with that being said, you know, Tom Brady, we can't wait to count down the days, man. You know what I mean? There's still part of people that are like, all right, well, you know, maybe the season's going to be, you know, we can't have it this good. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
People are like, we can't be this lucky to have Tom Brady as the quarterback. They're probably going to cancel the next five NFL seasons, you know, but you know, we try to get a, you know, stay away from that and just go, hey man, everything's going to get back to normal, but hey, we're still going here. We're not feeling sorry for ourselves. Let's have some fun and enjoy. Hey, it's beautiful weather here and it's still, you know, great to, there's a lot worse places to be than Tampa Bay when you're going through something like this. That's for sure.
The only disappointing thing to me about Tom Brady coming to Tampa is that Chris Godwin was so willing to give up his number. It would have been the most Buccaneers thing on the planet to force the greatest quarterback ever to finish his career wearing something stupid like number 17 and doing live spots for Publix on the radio station.
That's true, man. It's, you know what's funny, though, because one thing that we've noticed around Tampa Bay with the Tampa Bay Lightning, and even with how great, you know, everything's been with the Bucs, the Lightning to me still are the, you know, they're the model franchise when it comes to not just Tampa Bay, but not just hockey, but all of sports. Just the way it goes from Jeffrey Vinnick, the owner, all the way down to Steve Griggs, to Julian Breezeau, to John Cooper, to all the players. It permeates that positivity and the way, you know, treating people the way you want to be treated. That just, it exudes from everybody that is part of the Tampa Bay Lightning organization. And you see the kind of selflessness that Jeffrey Vinnick has. And then when you do that, and then you put a good product on the ice, it's like, hey, you're golden, man. You're destined for, you know, whether it's a long-term playoff success or a short-term like last year, you're in the hunt every year. And that's what that's what fans want. And I think when you have guys like Chris Godwin, and he's just such a good guy, you know, and he's like, he didn't make us think about that at all. And just getting to know him, he's got a charity for, I believe it's for dogs, him and his fiance. And you just put, like, you're putting those people together. You put Godwin with Mike Evans. You know, you put them with Ali Marpet. And there's just, and now you add Tom Brady. So that kind of permeation that we're talking about with the Lightning, you're getting those same kind of like-minded people now with the Buccaneers. And when you have that, listen, even though hockey's great and it's my favorite sport, football's still king in Tampa Bay. So if the Buccaneers are a successful team, this town will be painted red, white, and pewter. Don't mistake that at all. So but what I'm saying is that you have that many like-minded people where it's that winning mentality. If Brady can bring that here and you have the Godwins and the Evans, I mean, the sky's the limit for the Buccaneers. I mean, you just never know, man. In sports, there's so many, every year, six, eight teams that are out of the playoffs, in the playoffs. So, hey, fans are looking at it now like, hey, why not the Buccaneers?
All right, so I'm going to get you out of here on this. Something I have noticed about your show on Facebook is you have been asking questions that hit me as if we were in a normal sports environment right now. These would be the kind of questions that as a programmer, I would wonder, what the hell are we doing? But in this environment, I kind of get the importance of casting as wide a net to get as much audience involvement as possible. I saw, geez, we're recording this on Friday. I think it was on Wednesday. You asked the question, what Lightning jersey would you buy? Like I said, if we're in a normal sports environment, I'm not sure what that is adding to the station, but is the goal with that right now to get as many people involved and even not only just to benefit the show, but it creates a conversation and a sense of community for people that are just scrolling social media trying to pass the hours right now?
100%. And putting the memes up on the Ron and Ian show is something that I started probably a couple months ago, man. Mm-hmm. And what I've learned is doing these memes, because the Ron and Ian show page on Facebook was dormant for years. And we had trouble getting it back. And once I really became the executive producer, you know, I was like, hey, we got to make this so that it catches people's eyes. So, yeah, I try to do a meme every day or every other day, just asking questions. So yeah, we'll do something like that. But you know, we also asked, who you think's going to win the Super Bowl? What was your biggest takeaway from the Super Bowl? You know, it kind of opens it up to everything. You know, we get WWE in there. But yeah, that question the other day, and it's also kind of bouncing off what we're talking about in other aspects of life. The reason why we did that one is because the playoffs would have started for the Lightning that night, and because of the Buccaneers jersey. So.
Right.
You know, I think about it the night before or that morning and go, okay, what would be a good topic of conversation? And it's not always about like, what's topic A? It's about how can I reach as many people as possible? How can I reach the person that's not the diehard sports fan?
Yeah.
And they would still have a way to put their two cents in. So, you know, what do you think of the Bucks jerseys? You put that, boom, it's gold. You get 70 comments. So what we do is we print out those comments and we disperse them throughout the show. And we tell people, mm-hmm. hey, if you want to be connected to the show, facebook.com/Ron Nien. They go, and then people love hearing their name on the air. We had a guy named Dennis Pepperack call, and Ron called him Dennis Pepperjack. That was the funniest thing we talked about all freaking week, and everybody loved it. So it's that kind of, you know, humanizing the whole thing and entertaining and bringing those people in. You get them, you know, a little bit of a peek behind the curtain. Anytime you can enhance the program by trying to get more information or more feedback from listeners on different aspects. So it's whether it's text, call, tweeting, or on Facebook. Once we do that, we feel like it gives people a reason to tune in because their voice is being heard. We're going to be talking about a bunch of different things. And hey, when you get your name said on the air, there's people that call in our show that go, hey, my buddy just said you read my Facebook comment on the air. I really appreciate what you guys are doing. Have a great weekend. I know that, you know what I mean? Does that mean anything for meters or anything? But to me, man, those are you plant those seeds right there and you tell these people, hey, we really care about the community. We care what you have to say and we want to entertain you. When you get those phone calls, selfishly, I love those, man, because I feel like we're doing our job. We're entertaining the people that are, you know, keeping us in business. So, yeah, we're going to do our memes today. The one I'm doing, really not sports at all. How do you plan on keeping yourself entertained this weekend? Because Ron's been talking about I got to go on the paddleboard. Ian's saying I'm going to sit my ass on the couch. And I'm like, I'm going to be streaming live on Twitch. So, you know, it's something that we know that we can talk about throughout the show. So that's why we do it. And then when we can incorporate some listener comments too, I just think everybody wins.
I got a text from a friend this week who is a host and PD on the West Coast who asked me a question that I think is a really good closing thought, or at least it springs a really good closing thought for this week in a time when stations, both large, both part of large companies and locally owned, are thinking about layoffs and furloughs of employees, including producers. He asked, when a producer gets a contact, does the station have any sort of legal claim to those contacts? You know, I don't know that the answer necessarily is important. I think a good producer that is working for the good of the station should be willing to share contacts with other shows. That way everybody builds a little bit of a stronger Rolodex and the station itself becomes a little bit of a stronger product. But at the root of the question in this environment is very important. If you are furloughing someone right now, if you are asking people to take unpaid weeks off, you cannot be calling them on those weeks off asking to get a contact here or there. So what I would tell you is whether or not the station has legal claim to a producer's contacts is irrelevant. Set up the terms of a furlough. Set up exactly what you need from that person before they take their time off, before they are asked not to contribute at all. And make sure they're rewarded for it, right? Like, because, like I said, if I've been furloughed, if I've been told for 3 weeks, not only are you not coming to work, you're also not receiving a paycheck, I'm not super eager to pick up the phone unless on the other side you're going to tell me all of a sudden that my paycheck is coming back now. So just something to think about before furloughs kick in. And I know some stations around the country are counting down to that happening very soon if it hasn't already. Make sure all of your producers understand what you need from them before they are out of the building. I will be back with you next week. Thank you so much to Rider Voiceovers, the presenting sponsor of this show. And we'll talk to you next time on another edition of the Barrett Sports Media Producers Podcast.
Unbelievable, baby. The show is over.
Thank you for listening to the Producers Podcast. To connect with Dimitri, follow him on Twitter at Dimitri Ravanos. And for the latest sports media news, visit our website, BarrettSportsMedia.com.